We're starting chapter 24 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called Rita Skeeter's Scoop. Everybody got up late on Boxing Day. The Gryffindor common room was much quieter than it had been lately. Many yawns punctuating...
What's Boxing Day?
I have no idea. Many yawns punctuating the lazy conversations. Hermione's hair was bushy again. She confessed to Harry that she'd used liberal amounts of Sleekeasy's hair potion on it for the ball. But it's way too much bother to do it every day, she said matter-of-factly, scratching a purring crookshank behind the ears. Ron and Hermione seemed to have reached an unspoken agreement not to discuss their argument. They were being quite friendly to each other, although oddly formal. Ron and Harry wasted no time telling Hermione about the conversation they had overheard between Madame Maxime and Hagrid. But Hermione didn't seem to find the news that Hagrid was a half-giant nearly as shocking as Ron did. "Well, I thought he might be," she said, shrugging. "And he couldn't be pure giant because they're about 20 feet tall. But honestly, all this hysteria about giants, they can't be all horrible. It's the same sort of prejudice that people have towards werewolves. It's just bigotry, isn't it?" Ron looked as though he would have liked to reply rather scathingly. But perhaps he didn't want another row, so he contented himself with shaking his head disbelievingly while Hermione wasn't looking. It was time now to think of the homework they had neglected during the first week of the holidays. Everybody seemed to feel rather flat now that Christmas was over. Everybody except Harry, that is, who was starting once again to feel slightly nervous. The trouble was that February 24th looked a lot closer from this side of Christmas, and he still hadn't done anything about working out the clue inside the golden egg, because he's a lazy motherfucker. He therefore started taking the egg out of his trunk every time he went up to the dormitory, opening it and listening intently, hoping that this time it would make some sense. Yes, I know, he's a dumb motherfucker. He strained to think what the sound reminded him of, apart from 30 musical saws, but he had never heard anything else like it. He closed the egg, shook it vigorously, and opened it again to see if the sound had changed.
Seriously?
He's a moron. But it hadn't. He tried asking the egg questions, shouting over all the wailing, but nothing had happened. He even threw the egg across the room, though he hadn't really expected that to help. Harry had not forgotten the hint that Cedric had given him, but he's a moron, and his less than friendly feelings toward Cedric just now meant that he was not keen to take his help if he could avoid it. In any case, it seemed to him that if Cedric had really wanted to give Harry a hand, he would have been a lot more explicit instead of telling exactly what he should do.
Well, he didn't tell him exactly what he should do.
Well, okay.
Okay, and Harry did tell him exactly what the task was, and he didn't, like, give him, like, it wasn't, like, a hint.
Yeah.
He just told him that it was dragon. So, technically, Cedric was kind of a dick.
No, he was
a little bit of a dick. A little bit.
All he had to say
in order to make it, like, explicit, because that's not exactly
clear. It'll open underwater.
Open it underwater.
Yeah. But it's pretty obvious. Anyways.
I'm just saying that would have been a better way to say it.
I guess. I mean, that would have been more explicit, sure. But I think what he did was great.
Well.
I think Harry's a moron.
Well.
Harry, had told Cedric exactly what was coming in the first task. And Cedric's idea of a fair exchange had been to tell Harry to take a bath.
See.
Well, he didn't need that sort of rubbishy help. Not from someone who kept walking down the corridors hand in hand with Cho, and he was, oh, apparently they're going together. And so the first day of the new term arrived, and Harry set off to lessons, weighed down with books, parchments, and quills, as usual, but also with a lurking worry of the egg heavy in his stomach. As though he were carrying that around with him, too. Snow was still thick upon the grounds, and the greenhouse windows were covered in condensation so thick that they couldn't see out of them in herbology. Nobody was looking forward to care of magical creatures much in this weather, though, as Ron said, the Scroots would probably warm them up nicely, either by chasing them or blasting them off so forcefully that Hagrid's cabin would catch fire. When they arrived at Hagrid's cabin, however, they found an elderly witch with closely cropped hair and a very prominent chin standing in his front door. "Hurry up, now, the bell rang 5 minutes ago," she barked at them as they struggled towards her through the snow. "Who are you?" said Ron, staring at her. "Where's Hagrid?" "My name is Professor Grubblyplank," she said briskly. "I am your temporary care of magical creatures teacher." "Where's Hagrid?" Harry repeated loudly. "He's indisposed," said Professor Grubblyplank. Soft and unpleasant laughter reached Harry's ears. He turned. Draco Malfoy and the rest of the Slytherins were joining the class. All of them looked gleeful, and none of them looked surprised to see Professor Grubblyplank. "This way, please," said Professor Grubblyplank. And she strode off around the paddock where the Beauxbatons' horses were shivering. Harry, Ron, and Hermione followed her, looking back over their shoulders at Hagrid's cabin. All the curtains were closed. Was Hagrid in there, alone and ill? "What's wrong with Hagrid?" Harry said, hurrying to catch up with Professor Grubblyplank. Never you mind," she said, as though she thought he was being nosy. "I do mind, though," Harry said hotly. "What's up with him?" But Professor Grubblyplank acted. That's such a dumb name. Acted as though she couldn't hear him.
Many people think that Beater is a dumb name. Like, what are you gonna be, Beater?
That's what they said in third grade.
Bad memories, babe.
They call me Egg Beater.
Really?
Yeah.
As like an insult. Yeah. Why was that an insult?
Because there's a girl named Megan. Remember I told you this?
No.
Megan liked me.
Oh.
They called her Egg. Meg Egg. You know, Egg Meg. So something. You're
Beater?
And so they called her Meg Beater, as in her she would marry me.
Mm.
And so she'd be named Meg Beater. And then they called me Egg Beater. It's, I don't know, Meg Egg Beater. I don't know the whole thing.
It hurt in third grade, is what you're telling me.
I guess. I don't even remember, like, feeling bad about it. Really? I just remember them saying it, yeah.
Mm.
I just remember people being dumb, that's all. Okay. I was like, because I think, it was one of those things where I literally didn't get it. I was like, but I don't like her. Why are you making fun of me here?
I know.
So like, it was no skin off my back. People still, like, told me about it, though. She led them past the paddock where the huge Beauxbatons horses were standing, huddled against the cold, and toward a tree on the edge of the forest, where a large and beautiful unicorn was tethered.
Ooh.
Many of the girls oohed.
Sorry, I did not read ahead. Oh, I love the unicorn.
Oh, it's so beautiful, whispered Lavender.
I thought we're genetically perfect.
They're supposed to be really hard to catch. The unicorn was so brightly white that it made the snow all around look gray. It was pawing the ground nervously with its golden hooves and throwing back its horned head. "Boys, keep back," barked Professor Grubblyplank, throwing out an arm and catching Harry hard in the chest. "They prefer the woman's touch, unicorns. Girls to the front should approach with care. Come on, easy does it." She and the girls walked slowly forward toward the unicorn, leaving the boys standing near the paddock fence watching. The moment Professor Grubblyplank was out of earshot, Harry turned to Ron. "What do you reckon's wrong with him? I don't think he's screwed." "Oh, he hasn't been tax potter, if that's what you're thinking," Malfoy said softly. "No, he's just too ashamed to show his big, ugly face." "What do you mean?" Harry said sharply. Malfoy put his hand inside the pocket of his robes and pulled out a folded newspaper of a fold page of newsprint. "Here you go, Potter. Hate to break it to you," he said. He smirked as Harry snatched the page, unfolded it, and read it, with Ron, Seamus, Dean, and Neville looking over his shoulder. It was a picture. It was an article topped with a picture of Hagrid looking extremely shifty. "Dumbledore's Giant Mistake. Albus Dumbledore, eccentric headmaster of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, has never been afraid to make a controversial staff appointment," writes Rita Skeeter, special correspondent. "In the September of this year, he hired Alistair Mad-Eye Moody, the notoriously jinx-happy ex-Auror to teach Defense Against the Dark Arts, a decision that caused many raised eyebrows in the Ministry of Magic, given Moody's well-known habit of attacking anybody who makes a sudden movement in his presence. Mad-Eye Moody, however, looks responsible and kindly when set beside the part-human Dumbledore employs to teach care of magical creatures. Rubeus Hagrid, who admits to being expelled from Hogwarts in his third year. It's a weird thing to say, because presumably there's, like, a public record of that.
Right.
So it's not something that you admit or don't admit to.
So that's why she's, you know, that kind of yellow journalism.
Yeah. It seems like she's just a bad writer.
Or she just wants to be untruthful.
Yep. Has enjoyed the position of gamekeeper at the school ever since, a job secured for him by Dumbledore. Last year, however, Hagrid used his mysterious influence over the headmaster to secure the additional post of Care of Magical Creatures teacher over the heads of many better qualified applicants. An alarmingly large and ferocious-looking man, Hagrid has been using his newfound authority to terrify the students in his care with a succession of horrific creatures. While Dumbledore turns a blind eye, Hagrid has maimed several pupils during a series of lessons that many admit to being, quote, very frightening. I was attacked by a hippogriff, and my friend Vincent Crabbe got a bad bite off a flabberworm, said Draco Malfoy, a fourth-year student. We all hate Hagrid, but we're just too scared to say anything. Hagrid has no intention of ceasing his campaign of intimidation, however. In conversation with a Daily Prophet reporter last month, he admitted to breeding creatures he has dubbed blast-ended scroots, highly dangerous crosses between manticores and fire crabs. The creation of new breeds of magical creature is, of course, an activity usually closely observed by the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures. Hagrid, however, considered himself to be above such petty restrictions. I was just having some fun, he says, before hastily changing the subject. As if this were not enough, the Daily Prophet has now unearthed evidence that Hagrid is not, as he's always pretended, a pure-blood wizard. He's not, in fact, even pure human. His mother, we can exclusively reveal, is none other than the giantess Freidwulfa, whose whereabouts are currently unknown. Bloodthirsty and brutal, the giants brought themselves to the point of extinction by warring among themselves during the last century. The handful that remained joined the ranks of he who must not be named, and were responsible for some of the worst mass muggle killings of his reign of terror. While many of the giants who served he who must not be named were killed by Aurors working against the dark side, Freidwulfa was not among them. It is possible she escaped to one of the giant communities still existing in foreign mountain ranges. If his antics during Care of Magical Creatures lessons are of any guide, however, Freidwulfa's son appears to have inherited her brutal nature. In a bizarre twist, Hagrid is reputed to have developed a close friendship with the boy who brought around you-know-who's fall from power, thereby driving Hagrid's own mother, like the rest of you-know-who's supporters, into hiding. Perhaps Harry Potter is unaware of the unpleasant truth about his large friend, but Albus Dumbledore surely has a duty to ensure that Harry Potter, along with his fellow students, is warned about the dangers of associating with part giants. Harry finished reading and looked up at Ron, whose mouth was hanging open. "How did she find out?" he whispered. But that wasn't what was bothering Harry. "What do you mean we all hate Hagrid?" Harry spat at Malfoy. "What's this rubbish about him?" he pointed at Crabbe, "getting a bad bite off a flubberworm. They haven't even got teeth." Crabbe was sniggering, apparently very pleased with himself. "Well, I think this should put an end to the oaf's teaching career," said Malfoy, his eyes glinting. "Half-giant. And there was me thinking he'd swallowed a bottle of Skilligro when he was young. None of the mummies and daddies are going to like this at all. They'll be worried he'll eat their kids. Ha ha." "You! Are you paying attention over there?" Professor Grubby Plank's voice was carried over to the boys. The girls were all clustered around the unicorn now, stroking it. Harry was so angry that the Daily Prophet article shook in his hand as he turned to stare unseeingly at the unicorn, whose many magical properties Professor Grubby Plank was now enumerating in a loud voice so the boys could hear too. hope she stays, that woman, said Parvati Patil, when the lesson had ended and they were all heading back to the castle for lunch. That's more what I thought Care of Magical Creatures would be like. Proper creatures, like unicorns, not monsters. What about Hagrid? What's that?
Okay, I was going to say we could probably end soon.
Oh, okay. What about Hagrid, said Harry angrily as they went up the steps. What about him, said Parvati in a hard voice. He can still be gamekeeper, can't he? Parvati had been very cool towards Harry since the ball. He supposed that he ought to have paid her a bit more attention, but she seemed to have had a good time all the same. She was certainly telling anybody who'd listen that she'd made arrangements to meet the boy from Beauxbatons and Hogsmeade on the next weekend trip. And maybe we'll stop there. Okay, boo. I love you so much. And it's bedtime. You're very cute. And lovely. And beautiful. Thank you.